In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Today I would like to talk about these people, those that cried out to the Lord, those that were in this great cheering crowd who met and followed Jesus with branches of palms as he entered Jerusalem while seated on the colt of a donkey. I would also like to talk a little bit about their faith. But first, why was there such a crowd? Where did they come from? Well, the Jewish people from all over journeyed to Jerusalem this time of year. They were making their annual pilgrimage to celebrate the Passover. This is the Jewish exodus from the land of Egypt, led by Moses by the hand of God. As you can imagine, Jerusalem was very crowded. The normal everyday population of Jerusalem in those days, as estimated by various sources, was somewhere between 30,000 to 50,000 people. But pilgrimage festivals, that number swells to 100,000, and some estimates are even much, much higher. For our purposes, the exact number is not important, but the estimate will help us understand that when our Lord enters Jerusalem, well, let's just say the house was packed. So who exactly took part in this great cheering, palm-waving crowd? As we know, some of this Sunday crowd were from Bethany, who the day before were consoling Martha and Mary over the death of their brother Lazarus. They were there as Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb. They witnessed Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life. Naturally, they didn't keep this to themselves, but told others. And so some of the Sunday crowd were those from Jerusalem who rushed to Bethany when they heard that Lazarus had been raised from the dead. They came not just to see Jesus, but to see for themselves if what they heard was true. They wanted to see Lazarus with their own eyes. Some of the Sunday crowd were those from the city, not part of the previous day's witnessing crowd, but those who may or may not have known of Jesus, but afterward, hearing what he did, also went out to meet him. For the most part, they were the curious observers of their day. And then finally, some of the Sunday crowd were the Pharisees, who stood by observing as this Palm Sunday scene unfolded before them. Do we see ourselves in this crowd? With which group would we identify? The committed? The curious? The critical? As we consider this question, let's also think about the significance that this day holds for us. This, the first Palm Sunday. Just by his manner of entry, we notice something out of the ordinary about this year's festival. First, we see people greeting him with branches of palm trees. And as they greeted him, they cried out saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." We also see that he is not walking, but is on a donkey. The disciples themselves did not understand this until later. But what they had witnessed was the fulfilling of the prophet Zechariah. He spoke of the king coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. However, for most in Jerusalem, the upcoming Passover festival must have seemed like any other. In fact, Jesus had been there before. So this year, more or less, was much like last year, or the year before that, or the year before that. Little did they know that this year they had front row seats to the greatest event in human history. We have Jesus entering Jerusalem to attend the Passover festival, just as he had done before, but this year is different. The word was already out about him, and the many miracles that he performed over the years. Why, just the day before, he demonstrated the power of God by raising Lazarus. And now he is fulfilling a prophecy coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. Today we now know that this year is the year. This festival is the festival. And this is the moment when history changes forever because God intervenes. Now will be the fulfillment of God's divine plan. Now will be completed that which was laid out from the foundation of the world, the reconciliation and salvation of all creation. Now will the power of death be destroyed. Jesus gives us a preview of this great victory over death. Before he enters Jerusalem, he plans to make one more stop. His friend Lazarus has died, and he goes to raise him. Lazarus lived with his sisters, Martha and Mary, about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem in the town of Bethany. Jesus will do one more miracle to demonstrate God's glory, to strengthen faith, to give hope, to show love. By his authority, he calls Lazarus out of the tomb. Word spreads quickly. Many soon come from Jerusalem not only to see Jesus, but to see for themselves that Lazarus is truly alive. For they knew that he died. They attended his burial just 4 days ago. The next day, our Lord enters Jerusalem, the first Palm Sunday. Now let's turn and speak of faith. We see the faith of his disciples. We see the faith of the first and second-hand witnesses to the raising of Lazarus. Of course, at this time, I would suspect that Lazarus himself fully understands that Jesus is Lord. We see the faith of the curious observer, and finally, the watchful eye of the jealous religious leaders who are seeking to put him to death. Again, where do we see ourselves in this crowd? We will proclaim in 1 week from today, Christ is risen. Whom would we identify with? The question encourages us to examine ourselves. How strong is our faith? How do we understand our faith? How do we daily demonstrate our faith? These are questions that each of us must ask ourselves. These are questions we can't ignore if we call ourselves Christian. So where do we see ourselves? What can we do to make sure that we have the faith of the apostles and not that of the curious bystander, or God forbid, the lack of faith of the critical, jealous religious leaders? Today, right here, right now, we have the opportunity to renew and rededicate our lives to him as we prepare to enter Holy Week, and not just for Holy Week, but beyond. To grow our faith, we must strengthen our faith. We must follow his example of service and sacrifice. We must prepare ourselves to receive him. We must be holy, for he is holy. We must take up our cross and follow him. These are all things that we have heard before. The Lord knows that our daily struggle is challenging, but it is possible. It takes commitment, and he does not leave us without help. Our Lord gave instructions to be passed on. He established and blessed his church. Through the teachings of the apostles and the holy fathers, as guided by the Holy Spirit, we have our faith. There is a rhythm and a cycle to the Orthodox Church to hopefully bring us closer to him, so that with every passing year, we may grow in his grace and knowledge. Remember, Jesus wants a relationship with us, and we should want a relationship with him. Good relationships involve frequent and effective communication, the main elements of which involve personal expression combined with active, engaged listening. This is how we can begin to grow our faith. We communicate with God through prayer. God speaks to us through the scriptures. And this is what God tells us in this morning's epistle. To rejoice in the Lord always. Now sometimes, not sometimes, but always. Now in life you will be told never to say never and never to say always. Well, that is because life is not perfect. However, God is. So with him we can say that God is always good. God is always just. God is always merciful. And God is always loving. So no matter what we encounter, we can always rejoice if we remember this. Our faith also empowers us to fulfill the command of today's epistle, to have no anxiety about anything. Our Lord himself says in the Gospel of Matthew, to not be anxious about your life. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Trust in God to fulfill his promises. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and what you need, shall be yours as well. To have no anxiety about anything, to trust God to give us what we need, is no doubt easier said than done. But is this not the purpose of our faith? For a muscle to develop strength, it must be challenged. When an exercise becomes easy, a weight is added. Increased effort is needed, but an increase in strength will soon follow. Strengthening our faith is done in much the same way. We are never alone. God will help us through life's challenges when we turn to him. This is how our faith develops. And yes, for most of us, it takes a lot of practice. But this is how we grow. As we continue in faith, we understand that like the Philippians, we must in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. Remember, prayer is the way we communicate with God. To supplicate him is to ask in humility. To ask with thanksgiving is to express to him our appreciation and gratitude for all the blessings he has richly poured out to us. Therefore, when we rejoice always, when we are anxious for nothing, when we offer our requests by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So as our faith matures, it becomes far more than a theory or a feeling. It affects the way we live because it influences our heart, our mind, and our soul. As our faith matures, as it becomes more solid, it becomes the very foundation from which all of our decisions are made. St. Paul continues, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now the time of Holy Week is upon us. No matter how we have spent Great Lent, there is still time to share in the faith of those who are witnesses to the raising of Lazarus. Those who lined the streets of Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let us cast aside all anxiety. Let us trust in the Lord, whose death and resurrection has given us the ability to overcome the struggles of this life. For every service of the Holy Week is another chance for us to make our requests known to him as we gather as a community to pray. May we have a Holy Week focused on the victory of the Lord, whose resurrection we will celebrate next week. May this focus empower us to do that which is true, that which is honorable, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is gracious, and that which is worthy of praise. The God of peace is among us. In 1 week, we'll be here again together to exclaim and confess Christ is risen. But until then, today with palms in our hands, today we proclaim, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.